Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris, on the home, To The Point Home Services podcast, along with my homie, Chad EP, in the place to be. Chad, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Just hanging in there. A lot of travel this month. Saw each other last week. Get to see each other next week.
I know. How exciting. I know. God, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. Yeah. It is. That's it. Hey, listen, that is what makes all the travels enjoyable. I get to hang out with you guys a few weeks. And then, and I'm okay with being back home and not traveling.
It does indeed. I'm sure me and my guests would attest, or our guests would attest, that the East Coast trips are just a touch better than traveling out west.
I would disagree.
It's
quite nice, flying 35 minutes up to Las Vegas for Home Service Freedom, which was a blast. Yeah. Great event.
Yep. We were in Orlando. We were in Orlando like four times last year. So I guess last year was the year for East Coast.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the West Coast travel, especially because I started traveling a bunch of places again. And it's just, I feel like they really listened to me when I was asking, well, I'm excited to have our friend on the podcast. He's been on here a few times. One of my good buddies, Mr. Jason Bueller. Stay cooler with Bueller. Dude, JB, welcome back to the podcast, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
All the way in from Jacksonville. Got his lovely, beautiful bride sitting in studio today. Hot shout out to Charlie. hey, listen, the last time you were, or actually I was reminiscing because you actually came on, you've been on the podcast a couple times before. First one was one that you and I did, live. I guess this was year and a half ago, or maybe 2 years ago.
It was in September, 2021.
Holy shit.
Get your facts together.
Jesus. That was, that was True Grit. At True Grit.
Dude,
how many episodes we've done so far? Like, it's been a long time, dude. That was episode 90. And then we did a follow-up here in this studio with episode 187, which was your 3 to 18 million in 4 years, the Bueller Legacy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, well, hell of a journey since then.
Yeah.
What we're going to cover is how was Bueller going today? What's your ride been like since your post-acquisition? Because you've had quite the journey. I'm excited to talk through it because, as you know, Chad and I and some of the guys talked about is we think there's another big wave coming, and we think that 2026 is going to be a great year. And so those listening who are even considering it, like, they should hear what your journey is and, like, what you've been through and also current day and then your kind of view on the future too. But first, I want to talk just a couple quick things before I get to Chad's favorite part. And that is, football season has started. We were talking a little bit about this last night. And, Travis Hunter is, a Jaguar, which Jason is a Jaguars fan. And I was excited to see him go there. And I'm not going to let you cheer too much because all I did was beat the Carolina Panthers in week one.
Win is a win.
No hooting and hollering, but my Cardinals got a win over the Saints, so like same.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, so you could reasonably be 2-0 to start.
Maybe. And then, we're not going to call anything yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But I did tune into the Jaguars game just to watch Travis Hunter play.
So. That's what we were all hoping for.
Colts had a great week. Had a great week one.
They did. I don't think we scored 34 points. I don't think they scored 34 points maybe combined last year. So hell of a start out of the gate.
Daniel Jones looked good.
Yeah, he set like some kind of record. He scored like every time he touched the ball. Like they didn't punt it. He scored like 7 times in a row or something crazy.
Oh boy, football's back. I love it.
It literally makes life better. It's wild.
I agree.
When you're winning, yes. When you're winning.
Even not. Like I sat around all Saturday and just watching a bunch of college kids run around and play football. It's just perfect.
You know, we're coming off of watching week one of college football too. When, I mean, we're talking since Jason's a, I'm sorry, everybody else is going to puke, an Ohio State Buckeyes fan wearing a stupid ass shirt in the studio.
All we do is win, win no matter what.
But the Ohio State
Texans. Except against Michigan.
Oh, come on, Chad. What a buzzkill. What a buzzkill.
We didn't look very good Saturday. So I thought we figured out the forward pass in week one, not so much in week two. So not holding our breath.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree because I'm excited football's back. This is just a good time of year, right? Now we're going to holiday season and we got all the good fun stuff coming up. Like this is just, we have a couple of these trade shows we get to go to and get to see everybody. So just a fun time of year, but it's always better whenever I have a good friend in the studio, and getting to talk about, he got to hang out in the bar last night a little bit with us, in the bar at the Yano household. And Jason was happy that this time staying in the casita that the switch worked.
Thank God. Chad, I also experienced what you did.
Did you?
I slept with the light on a couple of years ago.
I did. Not the last time it was fixed, but the time before that, I was like, I can't figure this out. And I don't have enough. I'm not going back yet.
I was trying anything. I finally put like a pillow over my face and tried to go to sleep and not die.
Well, listen, I read the review box, the notes that you guys left, and I made the corrections. So, gotta accommodate. So I don't want to let Chad down, Jason. So, I'm going to share a few dad jokes if you don't mind. And if you do mind, I'm doing it anyway.
Let's do it.
Okay. And then we're going to jump into, real quick. We'll kind of let everybody know where the business is at today. Cause you've seen some pretty good growth and you've been through quite the experience. And I want to go walk through all of that with you. And hopefully you'll be as open as you can with me. I understand there's probably a few things you can't talk through, but the more open, the better. So I'll just keep pushing.
All right.
Okay. Dad jokes. Chad, you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. You see the excitement on his face? So I feel like I'm pushing the envelope a little bit on this one because we've kind of teased a little bit. Yeah. Just felt like this was the right episode to do it. Okay. And by the way, if you know the answer to this, spit it out. Don't be afraid to act like if you know the answer, just say it. Okay. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Did you hear about the constipated mathematician?
No.
How have you not heard about the constipated mathematician? Chad, you?
No, doesn't ring a bell. Mm.
He worked it out with a pencil. That was a potty joke. Okay. Yeah. Jason gave me that one. Okay. They only get better from here. You ready? What do you call a cheap circumcision?
I'm scared of this one.
A ripoff. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, a ripoff. Chad, how are we doing so far?
Well, the bar has not been set very high, so let this last one go.
Okay. How can you spot a blind man at a nude beach? It's not hard. There's three others on this list that might have got me canceled, so I'm glad I picked those three. Chad, I really appreciate you and Jason getting together and sending me those jokes to read on air. So thank you guys. I'm really grateful for that. Okay. Hey, listen, by the way, at Home Service Freedom, I have like multiple people coming up to me and talking to me about the dad jokes being like a favorite, dude. So we can't stop doing it. Like we're only getting better at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Garen Gilmore came up and talked to me about his submitted. He was very proud that we read those on air. So, okay. Jason, you ready to jump into this? I don't want to just assume that everybody knows what getting cooler with Bueller is. All right. Jason is down in, Jacksonville, actually a couple different, like what we call it, Northeast Florida.
Jacksonville, St. Augustine.
Okay. That's what he said. But you've also experienced some good growth here recently down that market too. And you've, you've been, you, I forget what the name of the business was before you changed it. It was some
Air Source America.
That's what it was. Didn't embrace the last name Bueller, but did finally. And, you know, and has grown a fantastic brand down in that market. And so much so that a private equity loved it and wanted a part of Jason. And Jason said, you know, I'm going to do this private equity thing. And that's what I want to get into is that you're 2.5 years post your acquisition or your deal with Legacy. And that's what I want to walk through. So maybe just share right out the gate for those who didn't catch that I said 3 to 18 million in 4 years for the previous podcast. Where you guys are at, you know, today and size of the businesses today, and then I'll start working my way back through some of the journey.
Sure. So this year we should finish somewhere between 24 and 25 million annual revenue. And year to date, we are at about 20% EBITDA, which is, I'm extremely proud of that.
Yeah. Okay, good. And your position today is like what? What are you doing?
I am the general manager today.
You're the GM?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Anything to help some of the other brands at Legacy as well?
A little bit. I've kind of earned their trust over the last couple of years with just making a few good decisions and being a consistent, you know, member of the team. And I have had a chance to just kind of assist with a couple of the brands near my marketplace. And I've went and made a few visits and, you know, just try and share the things that have worked well for us.
Yeah. Would you think as you went and like saw some of these other brands, and there's some great brands in there, some super sharp people. Have you noticed like since your deal that was done that you're kind of like, oh, cause whenever I first did ours, I didn't quite know like where I fit in. Like I didn't know if I almost had, it took me like a year to even understand, like, did I even belong? You know, was I smart enough? And have you learned now through this time, like, oh, I could have really scaled this thing without doing this. Like I am smarter than I thought I was. Like, did you learn any go? I went through that. Did you go through that stuff?
It's easy to look back and think, oh, should I waited a little longer? Should I have done this? Should I have done that? You know, I had a few of those thoughts, but at the end of the day, I try not to question, you know, what I've done or where I've been. It's all gone pretty well. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Okay. So let's just walk through this journey a little bit. You know, you're post acquisition, right? You're just, I think you and I were in Austin at the Legacy Service Partners, like, I guess.
It was like their annual event in April of 23.
Where all the brands were there and I had, you know, multiple clients there. You were there. Since then, that was early. That was like real early.
That was like the beginning.
the very beginning. Maybe like walk us through what these last, you know, few years of, and you don't need to get detailed, but just kind of walk me through like, hey man, you know, this first year was, you know, I was, here's kind of where I was. And the second year, like, and then I want to drill into, I really want to talk about, when you came to Rhino X in 2024, you won the Charge Award.
2023,
you won the Charge Award. God dang.
I'm here to help him,
Chad. Fucking
shit.
Thank God.
2023, you won the Charge Award. That's what it was. In 2024, you came back, but you weren't the same Jason Bueller.
No.
And I recognized it.
I was off my game a little
bit.
You
were
off
a little bit. You weren't even the same guy. And I could tell that your whole entire energy was different.
Yeah, so... In April 2023, there was a lot of buildup that got to that point where we did the deal. And I was so proud of everything that we'd accomplished. And I can remember going through that whole year, you know, from April all the way, even when I came to you to see the podcast in August of 23. And I remember thinking like, man, I'm just riding so high. Like, this is such an emotional high. Just being so proud of everything that we had done. And I remember feeling concerned, like, I got to land this plane at some point. And I hope that I don't land too hard. I hope that when I come down that it's not like a blunt landing, but it felt a little bit that way. And I don't think that it was anybody's fault. I think I just, you know, I came back to reality, and that fourth quarter that year was kind of a difficult quarter. If you guys all remember September of 23, October, November, December, those were some tough times for home services. There was a lot of people that were feeling the pain, and I guess I just didn't want to let anybody down. You know, I didn't want to feel like my business was going backwards or anything was going wrong. I didn't want to let down the Legacy team or Rob or any of those people. a lot of respect for him. Didn't want to feel like it was going backwards. There was a lot of pressure. I think right at that time I was in the middle of doing a tuck-in acquisition, and it wasn't going the way I thought it was going to go. I was thinking it was going to be easy, but anytime you're trying to merge, you know, two teams together, two cultures together, that was a lot more difficult than I thought. And I remember flying out to Rhino to see you thinking, man, I'm not my best self right now, but I just needed to get through it. Sometimes in life, you just gotta keep going. And, I had to work through some stuff and get back to who I wanted to be. And fortunately I came out of that time period and I've had some really good times since then. So I realized that I was a little off at that time, but I'm really good now.
Yeah. We were talking about this, I think last week, is like, you know, I think so many people are hesitant, and I think we've all been there, right? When things aren't going good, it's not like you want to go out and, hey, you know what? I'd really like to share with you how terrible things are going right now. but I think looking back upon it, we all kind of understand that if you embrace that part of the journey, it's what brought you here to today. So I guess if you look back, is like, when you look back upon that time, what was like maybe something that you learned from, you know, and I think it can help listeners everywhere that, you know, maybe are going through a tough time right now, or maybe went through one and they're trying to get back on the, you know, on the horse. Like what are some of the things that you may have taken away from that tough time that have, you know, made you better now?
You know, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And I remember thinking, you know, that I just had to get through what I was going through. And I was thinking so short term, because the pressure starts to get big, you know, when you have other partners involved, the pressure starts to get big. Like you don't want to, in the past, if we had a bad month, we just shook it off. Now it's like, you have a bad month, there's more eyes on it. You have a bad quarter, there's a lot of eyes on it. And we weren't necessarily having any bad times. I just hold myself to such a high standard that when things are not flowing and going the way that I want to, it was affecting me. So I can reflect on that and say that I needed to have better vision. I needed to have a better long-term vision, because the long-term vision, even with that acquisition, has been fine. But in the short term, I struggled. And, you know, anytime you mesh a lot of people together and you got two different teams, it is difficult. Like, I know you've been through it, Chris. So looking back, I just needed to trust the process, and I needed to trust myself and my instincts, because my instincts are normally really good. It's only, you know, when you start questioning yourself that you kind of beat yourself up.
Yeah, I, you know, it is crazy because I you know, I know you so well. And when I could tell you were off, I just kind of took it as like, oh man, he seems really stressed out. Like he seems like he gets your energy level was like through the roof. And what's interesting, you and I kind of went through our processes at the same time, so we could share that. But then, you know, for us to kind of reconnect and see you kind of back on one, you know, is cool, right?
And I need to clarify that Legacy didn't put pressure on me. It was the pressure that I was putting on myself, 100%. And I think that's why they, you know, chose to want to do business with somebody like me, is because I don't put the kickstand out. I'm always pushing all the time. And at that point, I was pushing myself, and I wasn't getting the result that I wanted. And fortunately, they're really, you know, have always been patient, you know, with me. So I want to make sure that I clarify that there wasn't somebody whipping me. It was just the person in the mirror that was whipping me.
That's oftentimes what it is sometimes. You know, like you just people afraid to look in the mirror and be like, oh. But I also think that that's kind of where my question was whenever I was saying, like, how were you looking at yourself in the bigger picture of all that? You know, like, and were you valuing yourself the way they were valuing you? And maybe probably not, because we're still trying to like stack rank ourselves versus the other, you know, founders that are part of these organizations that are maybe bigger businesses than yours or healthier business than yours. So, and now you kind of found your footing, like, okay, like, yeah, you know, I got this.
Yeah. And I often say that you can't compare every single business, especially in a platform, because they're competing in different markets and they have different, you know, setups. Often I'm looking to Brian Enders at HL Bowman and everything that he's been able to accomplish. He's probably one of the most impressive stories in the country over the last few years. Not everybody's been able to have the kind of explosive growth that he has. And I don't try and compare myself to him, but I'm trying to get the same result, you know, that he's getting. So I guess, you know, maybe that's what was part of the problem, is I'm looking around saying, well, some of these other guys are performing and I'm not right now. What am I doing wrong?
Well, you're hitting 20%. So I'd say you're,
well, things are okay now.
Jason, I've heard people, you know, I think there's, you know, this kind of overarching thing about private equity, things are going to change, so on and so forth. But I feel like I've heard more people lately talk about like the energy that they felt once like you had the support behind you, you got a lot of smart people in your corner, like this thing's going to really roll. Like, you know, obviously you went through a little bit of a tough time, kind of a lull. Now you're kind of back ready to roll. Like what are the one or two things that like you would say that like being partnered with Legacy has afforded you that maybe you may have figured it out by on your own, but like that they've allowed you to like accelerate, like, oh shoot, I didn't know the answer to this problem. I called one person, boom, answer, let's roll. We'll go solve the next problem.
Oh, this is going to be good. We just were talking about this.
Yeah. So that's a really great question. There's just a lot of technology that I was probably slower to adapt. For example, when it comes to advertising, I look to guys like Brian, Kelly Harvey, some of these other people that are really good. Brian was doing business with Wizard of Ads and doing a large radio campaign. I probably would not have done that on my own. I wouldn't have ponied up that kind of money to start a branding campaign, nor had the faith that it was going to work for the amount of time that it takes to do that. So that was an example. Working with me and Chris Torbay, the legendary, you know, writer for the Wizard of Ads, that's been a huge plus. Then also implementing things like Chirp campaigns, going to the AI answering services, I'm able to see other brands that are doing it and implementing it very well. And it takes some of that fear of the unknown away because it's like, well, they're doing it right down the road. Let's go. So there's been a lot of benefit there and a lot of confidence just knowing that there's support there. There's somebody to help you. We have marketing people to help us. We have technology people that can help us. So I've had a very good experience overall. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's all been sun, you know, all rainbows the whole time. That's not realistic. But overwhelmingly, we've had a very good experience.
It's awesome.
So I want to ask this. I'm going to just kind of jump around a little bit. How did you like in this process? How did you balance, you know, your sponsors' Legacy's expectations for growth and EBITDA, but still meaning, because you guys have a fantastic culture at Bueller. Like, yeah, it was great culture. I mean, you'd send me videos and stuff and you gave, you know, what the office, your office manager, or a car or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. It was, I mean, just great culture. So it's different when you're kind of getting pushed a little bit, you know, to drive and it is an investment. So like, how did you balance all those expectations, you know, and it not like blow up culture in the business?
Well, right from the beginning, I knew what I was doing with partnering with them because I was, you know, rolling a lot of equity of my own into the business so that I could stay in the front position. And had I wanted to go a different route, I could have, but I chose not to. So there was just, I don't know, there was definitely a sense of earning their trust. And as we continued to make good decisions and make good recommendations for not only for ourselves, but for some of the other acquisitions that they made, like with Sunshine, you know, when you make the right call and you earn people's trust, they allow you to keep doing, you know, what you're good at. And I think that that's what happened with us. We were pretty upfront about the things that were important to us, you know, before we ever did a deal with them. And they've really allowed us to do that. Now, on the flip side of that, I think that if we'd not earned their trust, if we had not made good decisions, maybe there would have been more pushback on some of the stuff that we like to do. But we don't do anything much different than what we did before. We were able to keep the business very similar. Pay plans are very similar. The brands that we sell are very similar. The things that we do as a culture are very similar. And if they're working, then why would you change it? You know?
Yeah. If the business was failing, they might not have listened to you as much.
But, they probably wouldn't.
But you actually said something key in there too, that you negotiated the deal in a way that positioned you to still have equity in this thing and to continue to lead it. And, you know, but now it's on you because you're just basically take some chips off the table, but you're betting on yourself.
I mean, they were betting on me. I was betting on them. Yeah. This was mutual. And I knew that I was going to have to evolve in my position as a leader because the same staff that brings you, you know, from 0 to 15 million, they're either going to evolve or you're going to have to bring some new people on to get you from 15 to 30 or 40 or wherever you're trying to go. So I knew what I was signing up for.
Well, that's a good segue because I want to ask this question. And we've talked about this in this podcast before. I did the podcast with Anna one time. I can't remember. I would not even guess a year. You probably know it better than me at this point on when the hell it was. But we did one and we were talking about on this journey, you know, people follow you up the mountain and they can only see from their position on the mountain. Like, so some people at the top of the mountain might see more things. Well, we'll see more things than people at the bottom. So they don't understand the decision-making because of their view. But on the journey, not everybody comes with you, no matter how hard you try to pull them up the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, or you have some like changes and things like that. And you experience some of that. I've experienced some of that is, you know, as things are kind of progressing and changing, you know, you have some leadership changes that happen internal in the business. And now you have you as the main leader have to adjust to make sure that everybody's good to go. Like, you know, we've lost leaders, right? In our deal, like in our merger. And that sucks. How did you, I know that happened with you as well. Like, how did you manage that process? Like you personally, but then, you know, for the team, like kind of walk me through what that was like. And then what's after that. Right. Cause
yeah,
it ended up working out.
Everybody always wants to say, oh, it's just business. It's just business. It's not though. When you bet so hard on yourself and the team that you've put together, it becomes a little bit personal. And you always think, well, I've got this great vision. Everybody should, you know, follow along with this. I think I have everyone's best interest in mind. But we have had some people that have exited and leave, and it can't help but hurt your feelings because you think, oh, man, I did all this because I wanted to keep us all together. But, you know, when one door opens or when one door closes, another one opens, and we've had somebody that stepped into a really good role at Bueller that was ready for that role, and we've really not missed a beat. Things have gone extremely well. And, you know, that's part of evolving as a leader is showing that you can do it again and that you can take it to another level. And I think that's the beauty of this business is that, you know, from the time I've been 18 years old, I've had to learn different roles all along the way. And I'm going to turn 46 next month. And I'm still getting to evolve as a leader within my own business now. And I'm you know, getting a small chance to go and try and help make a positive impact, you know, with a few other companies within the platform. And I think that's the beauty of the platform as well. You know, you got Rob has had to continue to evolve as the CEO. Pat, our CFO, has had to evolve. They've got really good people on the team, and watching them grow has been pretty fun for me as well. Like we've all got to get better if we're going to go where we're trying to go.
By now, you've probably heard how much of a proponent I am for BlueOn, but I'm not the only one. When you talk to service managers using BlueOn, the stories all sound very familiar. Nick Christensen over at Herbal Heating says his team saved 46 hours in just the first month. Between the parts lookup, wiring diagrams, and AI troubleshooting, his techs are solving issues faster and ordering the right part the first time. It's even streamlined communications between the techs and the parts department. They just screenshot over the right part from BlueOn and send it over. It's simple, it's accurate, and it works. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the description and book a quick demo to see it in action.
Got it. Okay, so I didn't make sure Chad was going to say something. Sorry, buddy. Chad usually kind of gives me the, yeah. And if he gives me the, yeah, I know he's about to speak. No. It's like that. So real quick then. So was there a, you know, in this little wave, right? Like we kind of blew through about 2 years there. is there like a moment in that thing when, in this process, when something like started to click, like, and you're like, oh, okay. Like I can be without this and I'm fine. Or, oh, I learned this and I'm fine. And you kind of alluded to with these other brands, you get to hear what they're doing, but you also kind of get to see now the behind the curtains of what they're doing to see how it's actually like what the end result is of these things. So you have now like a team, you have a team of other leaders who, you know, can help work through any of these situations. But for you, was there just a moment in this whole thing when it clicked and you're like, oh, okay. Like the moment when you said, okay, I'm done kind of with this, you know, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, you know, Jason, you got this. Was there something that clicked for you or a moment in this thing that clicked for you when you're like, I got this shit. Let's go ahead and take this thing to the moon.
I would say a few months back when we had some leadership leave, I can remember my older brother telling me, he said, Jason, one of the biggest things that you've got to make sure that you do in your life is you got to stay engaged. When you're not engaged, it's a problem. And, you know, we had some people leave and I jumped right back into the general manager position. And I have really thrived, like, personally from that. And I would say that that was a moment where it was like, if this thing's going to get where I need it to go, it's going to be because I'm involved on a daily basis. And I got back involved in the interview process. When we go to interview employees now, I can remember the past couple of years, we'd get good candidates to come in and then they would choose not to do, you know, business with us or not, you know, come onto our team. And I would think, how did this happen? Like, we've got the best culture. We got the best team. We got the best pay plans. That's not happening anymore. When they come in now, they're getting closed. They're coming on our team. And for all the right reasons, because we're a team of winners and we know exactly where we're going to go. And we've had that happen a few times recently where I'm involved in a lot of the processes that I probably missed a lot. I didn't know how much I missed it until I came back to it. And I would say just a few months ago, I became very remotivated to get where I needed to go.
Yeah. Jason, I think we're on a topic right now where I think listeners can learn a lot. You've been able to scale a business. And I think as we scale, sometimes as leaders, you lose sight because you put other people in charge, you empower them to go make decisions and so on and so forth. And so I think it's unique and also really awesome that you've stepped right back in. You mentioned recruiting as being one of those things of like, what? And I mean, I've done the same thing. Like, hold on a second. They came here and we did not hire them. How is this possible? What are maybe some of the other things that as you dove back in that you've realized that for someone who's continuing to scale and continuing to think like, oh, you know, the famous saying, oh, now I get to work on the business, not in the business. But I always think it's important to dive back into the business. It's kind of that, you know, expect what you inspect. You know, make sure that you have your eye on the ball. What are maybe some of those other things that you saw that maybe weren't like terribly wrong, but you were like, oh, shoot, we can make this a whole lot better now that I can see it from kind of the ground level?
I can give you a great example. I was listening a few months ago when you guys had Sammy Ayoub on here, and I remember listening to that and him being a part of every meeting in the morning and him being a part of, you know, recruiting people. And I thought, why in the world am I not doing this? Sammy's business is bigger than mine. Like, why am I not doing this? So I started going back to every service meeting, trying to be a part of every install meeting, every sales meeting, not every office meeting, but being present in at least one meeting per month and being really invigorated to be in touch with all those employees again. And every single day starts the same way for me. I go to the gym in the morning. I come to the office at 7:15 and I go dab up all the people that I know. And like, and fortunately I know them all, which is awesome. And I get to go say hi to the installers in the morning, the service techs that are coming by. And, that for me has been really refreshing, just re-engaging in the people side of the business. Cause I really feed off of that energy. And I do believe that I feed good energy back to those same people.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And we did something similar that's almost been a year ago, where we realized that, like, you know, as we scale, like the frontline individual contributors, like, lose their voice because there's so many layers of management. And it's like, you know, they're complaining about things. It gets to their manager and the manager's like, well, someone else told me to do this, so it is what it is. And it's like, oh my God. But what we started doing was we do a town hall with our COO. He does it first Friday of every month. Every field professional is on a Zoom call. And it's basically like, here's the state of the business. Here are all the things we're working on. They're allowed to submit feedback or submit questions before the thing so we can go answer those when we're in there. And it is amazing how many things it has headed off at a pass because there was so much just, and it wasn't their fault. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't even their manager's fault. It was just more so like they had made up that they had heard that this change happened. They didn't know why it happened. They, you know, they knew it was different and they just have all these questions. But then when we get somebody who can just say, no, we actually are doing that because of this. Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I that's not a problem anymore. Moving on to the next one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And it's so on and so forth. And I think it's so important what you just said is you know, even though your business scales and there's layers of management in between, the more that you can push down through to the front line, I think the better off you're going to be, because communication is like in these businesses and probably every business. I don't know. I've only worked in two different trades, but it's like a giant game of telephone. You know, I'd pass this to somebody. By the time it gets to the installer, he thinks that he's getting paid this. And we're like, hold on a second. That's not what we came up with. It's just crazy. So I commend you for doing that. And I'm going to guess that your organization is seeing the fruits of that, you know, hard work and determination to make sure that you're connected with everybody on your team.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chad. And just recently, a month or two ago, I was in a sales meeting and it came to my attention that somebody had changed my sales process that had been very, very successful. And I got really offended by it. And one of the things that they had changed is for many, many years, every time we sold a job, we have a project manager that goes out and sells the job. And the process is A to Z. He's going to sell the job. He's going to make sure that the installers know exactly what's going on with that job, or the install manager, who's ever going to handle it. And then we like to send that project manager back within a week to make sure that everything went properly, to close that job out, to make sure it's going to pass inspection, all this thing. So I come in and I found out that somebody had made the decision that we didn't need to run follow-ups anymore. And I was so upset about it. And then it made me really dive into like, well, what else are we not doing that I set up a couple of years ago that was so successful? So little things like that we've been fine-tuning over the last, you know, several months. And it's made me really happy to get back in there and say, oh, no, we're going to go back. And it's cooler when you do it Bueller's way. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, you guys know that, you know, the last 4 months, you know, Ann and I have jumped back into, really be the day-to-day leaders of this business. And I learned that I almost got too disconnected. Like where I was, I knew so much about everything in this business and even the market. And being hands off, jumping back into it, I learned like how disconnected I am from all the inner workings of our business and what has changed. It's been a year, right? I had a year and a half break, and they put me in roles where I'm focused on things where I used to know like everything in the business. And used to hear people ask Gary Vee on how he stays like so sharp in running VaynerMedia with, you know, 1500 people. And he said he still knows, you know, a little bit about every role. I mean, every position in the business or whatever that, you know, whatever the department is in his company. So, but he has to actively work on it. I didn't do that. Like, you know, so I wasn't paying attention on all the things that the SEO team is doing or all the things that the PPC team was doing or design or whatever, until you have to jump back into it and start to make sure you know what the hell you're talking about to be a good leader of people. And though it's not my role, I'm not over operations, I still have to go out in the public and talk about it. I have to understand the market. So like jumping back in for me has been like drinking from a fire hose. I'm not going to say it's not been hard, because it has been hard. But I'm not going to let myself get away from it again, right? Because that was like, I can do this. I don't need, you know. It's okay to let other people like, you know, to build these departments and things like that. I don't have to know every little detail, but I really need to know, like, I need to know the major things. And I felt myself getting disconnected from that. And it also allows you to stay more connected to, you know, to your team. I always felt like I was a little bit disconnected. It's hard to stay connected when you got 240 some odd people or whatever it is, you know? So if I'm not working directly with you, I'm going to shift gears for a second. Okay.
Sure.
I want to talk about, for those that are listening, you know, who are hearing you go through your journey and are encouraged, you know, by, you know, knowing that the market is, we believe that 2026 is going to be a great market. And again, it's going to be great for private equity and great for some of these guys who want to partner with private equity. Maybe let's just talk about can I throw a couple deal structure questions at you? Just sure. Answer them how, okay. do you, and this is the one I love asking anybody, and we haven't done, you know, a podcast around private equity partnerships in a while. But what would you have negotiated different terms in your deal, like now that you kind of know what you did, like whether it be earnouts or equity rollover control, whatever it is, or anything that you would have maybe negotiated differently in the deal structure with knowing what you know today?
So early in the process, I can remember thinking, oh, maybe I should have taken a little bit more upfront and a little bit less roll, so it would feel like less pressure. But that has shifted over time. Now, you know, some guys have rolled a little bit more, and you know, if I could do it all over again, I maybe would have taken a little bit less up front and had a little bit bigger bite on the second round, because I know inevitably the second round is going to come. Like, this platform has been very successful. You know, I don't like to question myself too much on it, but you know, if I could do it over again, I may have bet a little harder on myself, because I'm that confident that we're getting where we're trying to go.
Yeah. So you'd bet on a little bit of the longer term game.
Yeah. I think I would have.
Did you think you were going to be staying in it for a longer term though at the time? Like, did you think, hey,
I thought for sure I'd be in it 5+ years, and I'm very confident now that I'll, you know, even if I'm able to realize some of that investment that I rolled, I'm not just going to walk away from the team, you know, like, it's my life, you know? Yeah. And I think that a lot of people get scared of doing a deal, cause they think, I just can't quit on my life, or I can't give up my identity. There are a lot of different structures out there where you don't have to do that, and you can stay a part of it, you know, as long as you're going to, you know, give the same effort that you did before. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. I studied this a lot before I did it. Obviously, you know, we talked about that the last time. But overall, I think I made a good choice, and you know, I don't think I would change much.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, you know this, I'm not here because I have to be here, cause I don't have to be here. I'm here because I want to be here.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't do a private equity deal to sell out. I did it to scale and grow, but I learned a lot.
Yeah.
In that 2-year stint on what I would have done and what I would not have done, because I didn't quite understand some of the changes that could happen. Actually, I probably did. I just didn't think about it, you know? But now I'm like, I got to, you know, Fallon's 10. She's in fifth grade. Like, what am I going to do? I can't retire. I can't, like, it's not like go anywhere. And I keep saying, oh, I'm done at 50. The reality is like at 50, she's still going to be in high school. So I still got to keep going. Otherwise,
Fallon needs a full-time chauffeur for sure. She's going to need one.
Yeah. we're aware. Trust me. When I came home from the gym yesterday, Jason and Charlie are in there just talking to Fallon. They're in the house just talking to Fallon. I'm like, wonder what conversation these guys are having. And she just hung with us.
Yeah, she did. She's an amazing 10-year-old.
They broke the mold on that one. There is no doubt.
She's a little mini Anna.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to be your most,
challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
You can say it.
Yeah. Challenging. Let's just call it like we see it. That's why Chad loves her so much. I think he loves that she challenges us so much and he doesn't have to deal with it.
We were there last week and I'm sitting next to Anna. She's like, well, Fallon called me while Chris was speaking on stage, wanted to let me know that the teacher may be sending an email home about her behavior in class. And Anna's just like, oh my God, what has transpired here?
That tracks, right?
Yeah.
That tracks. Yeah. Jeez. I mean, it's good for your, it's a great challenge, you know, it's a good challenge to make sure that it's a good mental fortitude game having her as a child. Okay. So one more quick question, just maybe not so much around deal structure, but kind of in that same wheelhouse is in this process, was there an example of something that maybe you would have done differently if you were still independent versus being in the private equity world? When you had all that freedom and no pressure to do whatever you wanted, what would it be?
You know, I'm going to go back to what I kind of said before is like, I don't think I would have been as aggressive with some of the moves that I've made. I think I would have been a little more conservative. I'm just conservative, a little bit conservative by nature. I can't think of any one thing that jumps out that I would have said, oh, I would have done it this way had these guys not been here, this partnership not been there. I think that there's more examples of things that I learned faster because I had, you know, the partnership and all the people that I could draw upon for the knowledge. I don't have anything good for him.
Were you doing like shop tours and stuff like that pre private equity?
Not exactly. No. I went to events, you know, I'd saw Tommy Shop, which is obviously a garage door shop, but yeah. I'd done events and I'd networked with a few people, but I had not done a full scale shop tour. Well, outside of, I guess, Hiller, we did the Hiller tour,
yep.
Which that was, you know, quite a bit bigger than what we were.
Slightly.
But it was still a really cool thing to do. I never made it to the Peterman place, but that would have been a good one to see as well.
Still the opportunity.
Hey, October 2, we've got another one coming up, and then we'll probably hang it up for the rest of the year, and then we'll start back up again next year.
Nice.
There's your opportunity to go to Peterman Brothers.
October's a nice time to come. I'd skip the winter and maybe come in the spring. Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, Chad.
You know all about it. Yeah,
we,
I'm not
we call it the
either.
Gray matter. Yeah. We call it the gray matter. It's avoid it from November through April.
Yep.
Gray matter. Oh, it takes me back.
Whew. You know.
I do know. Okay, so we'll slip in this last one. And this is more of like advice from you to those that are listening. And then we're going to shift to my last question, which is going to be my favorite question. Attention to the point, listeners. Branding has never been more important. Is your brand in serious need of an upgrade? Do you have a new company and need a new brand, but don't want to wait 6 months or pay a ridiculous amount to get it done? If your brand looks like everyone else's, well, guess what? You are everyone else. But Prolific, they build brands that dominate. From the first Google search to the driveway, Prolific Brand Design can help you be more of you, because you are the unique difference that sets you apart from all your competitors. So let's be real for a second. Your brand is either winning you customers or costing you money. Just ask some of our clients like Ken Goodrich, Ishmael Valdez, my boy Chad Peterman, and even myself. Prolific Brand Design is the creative pros behind some of the best home services logos, truck wraps, websites, and now email marketing campaigns. Wouldn't you love it if your email marketing open rates were 30, 40, 50% and don't go into the spam folder hell? That's how we roll at Prolific. So check them out at prolificbranddesign.com and ask for the To The Point promo, Prolific Brand Design. Be more of you. Be prolific. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. What should contractors, in your opinion, and from your experience, not compromise on when selling the business?
That's a really good question. Fortunately, I took a lot of time, you know, to think about what I wanted to do. And I listened to, you know, a lot of podcasts and stuff like that on other people. And I can remember Ken Goodrich saying, you can only go to the gym and pick your kids up from school for so long before you're going to get really bored again and want to be back in the business. And that really resonated with me. And I remember thinking, again, like what my brother told me, I need to be engaged. I need to be doing something. So if I'm a contractor out there, I would make sure that I'm either A, 100% good with selling the business and not being a part of it anymore, or making sure I'm doing business with somebody that I can stay in a, you know, essentially a marriage with and still be happy and keep my sanity. And, you know, essentially that's the route that I chose because I wanted to be engaged, and that was something I didn't want to compromise. I didn't want to compromise I stayed in it for a few reasons because much like you, I don't necessarily have to financially work anymore, but I want to show up for my team and I want to show up for my customers and I kind of want to show up for myself. I want to show up for my family. And I know I'm the best version of myself when I'm engaged. I'm the best version of myself when I'm pushing, you know, and, I wouldn't compromise that. You know, if you think you're going to be miserable selling it and throwing the sack of cash over your shoulder and walking away. You know, be careful what you're getting yourself into. Just do the homework and then probably follow your instincts. Cause there was a time, you know, when I first did it, like I said, when I landed that plane and I came down, I started to question myself a little bit. Well, maybe I should have done this or maybe I should have done that. But ultimately now it's two and a half years later. And I'm really glad with the decision that I made because I made it for all the right reasons. I followed my instincts and I would give that same advice to anybody. Make sure you're following the instincts that are best for you and your family.
Yeah. And you're a faith-based guy too. So you also kind of followed that.
Yeah. Like, every time I used to get upset and start questioning like, oh man, this is a lot of pressure. Why did I do this? I felt like, well, who am I to question God? You know, this was the Lord's plan for me. I should be really happy and feel really blessed that this is my life. And that always snaps me right back into reality. Yeah,
that you get to be in this position.
Yeah, I get to be in this position.
You get to be in this position. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I will share this live on air. Okay. You guys have heard it, but I'm going to share it anyway. And this is my advice also having been through a few years of a private equity partnership is I would say be okay with it completely falling apart and you know that you're financially okay and you've negotiated the right deal that allows you to do whatever you need to do next to take care of yourself because you just don't know. You can pick the right partner, but the partner within the group can change.
Yeah.
You know, I had a CEO change in mind and we bet on the CEO.
Yeah.
You know, and talk about a disruptor and that immediately switched from, you know, for me, from somebody who I respected and was led by to someone that I had needed to earn my respect. And that was a major shift. And so at that moment I was like, thank God I'm a fighter, you know, and I'm going to figure it out and try to figure out how to keep going. But then you start to carry this like guilt. I chose this for my team.
Yeah.
So my PSA there is when you're thinking about finding the right partner, be also thinking about that potential partner can change, right? The people within that you respect can change. So make sure the platform in itself is something that, yeah, you know, that you want to be a part of.
And that's something I'm really grateful for because I've heard stories of, you know, other contractors that weren't happy with the decision that they made, or maybe their stock or whatever didn't do what they thought it was going to do. And I've been very, you know, grateful and fortunate to be a part of something that has been very successful and looks like it's got a really good runway to continue to be successful for a long time.
I'm happy for you, man. Chad, you got anything else before I move on to my last question?
I don't. Ask your last question and then I can kind of say my closing comments before you do Perfect. Your thing at the end.
Perfect. Actually, I might have Jason help me. He's been a long time listener, first time caller.
Jesus.
You know, I'd like to think that over these last few years that I've brought the best out of Chad Peterman. I think we see, a more, he definitely likes to, you know, sing a little bit more. You know, last week at Home Service Freedom, I even saw some dancing at Flo Rida a few times.
About to have a sling on my arm. Got an elbow all up in a tizzy.
Unsolicited, he did some dancing. Okay, so we're seeing, you know, a little bit of change in Chad, and you know, Chad's not afraid to go, and he goes, you know, goes on trips, does his thing, he makes memories. And one thing that Jason Bueller taught me at our Arrowhead Lakes house, if you remember this, we talked about something called memory dividends.
Yeah,
and you found that in the book. Which book?
Oh, you remember? The book was Die with Zero by Bill Perkins. Amazing book.
Memory dividends. So real quick, I want you to talk about to the listeners. This is important. So if you ever seen me post hashtag memory dividends or some of my friends, like even, you know, we got Charlie doing it, Kelly doing it. Just explain what memory dividends are because you've been making a lot of them.
Yeah. Right?
And I want our listeners to do the same thing.
So in life, everybody always talks about, you know, there's three things that you're trying to do. You're trying to chase a good financial goal. You're trying to utilize the health that you have and the time that you have. Well, everybody's worried about their financial dividend, you know, and what that's going to be. But in life, you really need to chase the memory dividend. The memory dividend is taking advantage of the moment and going and doing the things and sharing them with the people that you love. And then turning around when that, you know, when that trip is over, when you're concluding and turn around saying, you know what? That was a memory dividend. And I'm so fortunate to have learned that, I think, back in 2020. And I've spent a lot of time taking good trips and sharing that same philosophy with other people so that they will realize we only have so much time. We only have so much health. And if you've made enough money to go chase down some of those things, you should spend time chasing those memory dividends, because they're so much better than financial dividends. When you're old and you're tired and you're whatever place you're at that you're going to be resting and thinking about it, you're not going to think about, you know, oh shit, I made a little bit more money in my 30s or 40s. You're going to be thinking about the memories and the times and the love that you shared with the people that you care about. So that's, to me, a memory dividend. This trip right now is a memory dividend. I took my wife to Phoenix, got to come out here, spend a couple of nights with the Yanos.
In studio.
I'm in studio.
This is great.
This is a memory dividend. All three of my experiences doing these podcasts have been memory dividends. But in life, I've been so blessed to get to share so many of them with my friends and family that I care so much about.
Yeah. And you started something, because I've shared it everywhere. I share it with everybody. So anybody's heard me say that came from Jason Buehler. And we were creating a memory dividend the night that you told me.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
I've got some video on my phone somewhere.
Yeah. You were talking about your ambidextrous. You remember? That in itself is a memory dividend. I'll let you share if you want or if you don't. It's fine.
So,
oh boy.
You know what? Okay. Let's
maybe Chad doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
God, that's a hard one. I don't know that I could.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I don't think I can share that one on air. But off air I can. But that was a memory dividend I'll have forever. That's right. What he's alluding to is I can use both hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
equally.
They just came up with a different name for it. Yeah. So it's been, you know, like, it's just what I always love is that, through your experience too, whenever you guys are out, cause you love to, you're on your boat, and you guys go out in the ocean, you guys do all the fun stuff and you have a good time. And I can always tell when you have a good time, cause you'll send me a video of you guys having a good time.
Yeah.
Guilty.
And,
yeah. And I love it. Cause I'm like, damn, I'm jealous. I wish I was there creating some memory dividends with him.
The last one was good when I sent you the pimp juice video.
It was real good in the, limo where it was. That was pretty good. Hey, speaking of which, a memory dividend, I haven't been in a limo in forever, but when we were in Vegas, we took, we flew back with Tommy and Bree, and they said, we're going to take a limo to the airport. I'm like, oh, what? And so his assistant booked us this huge, like lifted dually limo that to take us like 4 minutes across the street to the airport.
The airport's literally 10 minutes away.
It's like, okay, I've been in a limo forever, but we had the best 4 minutes in that limo going over the
and
airport.
And you'll remember and it forever.
Remember it forever. I'll remember it forever. Well, listen, dude, Chad, I'll let you close out here in a minute, but I just love having you in here, dude. I always love having you around, you know, and you know you're welcome at my house anytime.
Really appreciate that.
And in here anytime if you ever just want to come and hang out at Rhino. But it's always just, you know, I'm glad to have you in here, and it feels good. I say this in the nicest way. I'm glad to have you back.
Well, thank you.
The Jason Buehler that I know, who's, you know, just a, you know, high energy guy. Like I could see that's back, and I'm grateful. So, and I hope that this morning that this is a good memory dividend for you, that your stomach was as disrupted as mine was from our Mexican dinner last night.
Didn't bother me a bit.
That hot sauce, God, nearly destroyed me.
You didn't take him to the bearded barber?
That's tonight, buddy. Okay. That's tonight.
All right.
We're going tonight.
Make sure you wear a collar. Tonight. You got a collar on. You're good.
got
held up there one time for that transgression, apparently.
Transgression. All right, Chad, close us up, buddy.
No, I think it was great having you on, Jason. I appreciate you sharing your story. I think that if there's anything that anybody can learn, you know, private equity has so many, you know, good stories, bad stories. I don't know about them. They seem weird. Are they going to disrupt the industry? All of this stuff. And I think to me, what you shared today was, hey, I went into this with all the right intentions. I studied, I did it. I fell into kind of a rough spot. I bounced back. And I think that just shows that people like yourself, I mean, with any relationship, it's what you bring to the table. Your willingness to, you know what, I'm going to persevere. I need to be at my best, all of this. And I think for so many listeners, it's like so often we're blaming all the external stuff, all of the, it's not my fault. It's got to be somebody else's. It's not my fault. It's got to be the weather's fault. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. It's like, you know what? being able to stand up and say, hey, I'm not at my best, but I need to be at my best for my family, my company, my people, all of this stuff, I think is just a huge lesson, a huge takeaway for me of like, hey, those times when you're not feeling so great, like it's on you. Like, what are you bringing to the table? What are you going to do to make the situation better? So I appreciate you sharing your story. Always great to connect. Hopefully I'll see you maybe next week. Maybe. No?
Nope.
I don't believe
no
so.
No Pantheon.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you soon.
You just reminded me of a quote that I love. It's surround yourself with the dreamers, the doers, the believers, the people who believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. That's guys like Chris Yano and Chad Peterman.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
It made me warm and fuzzy inside. Thank you so much. Listen, I think it's only appropriate that you close out this podcast. Do you think you can handle closing out this podcast? It only takes one statement.
Yeah, I can do this.
Bring it home, JV.
No 0 days.
There you go. Welcome to the Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.